الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you in order to follow it, because I'm going to read from the Quran either in Arabic and English or both, and then you're going to follow along with me. And if you have a paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes, I suggest you do that. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class, and hopefully you will attend many more of our classes in the future, Allah willing, or God willing. We're going to talk a little bit today about the topic of guidance. I did one on guidance, but I'm going to do another one on guidance, sort of a reminder of to my students and, of course, to myself regarding the kind of character a Muslim is supposed to have and where he's supposed to get our guidance from. And so I want to just mention just a few things. It was narrated by Abu Huraira, one of the Prophet's messengers. I'm sorry, one of the Prophet's companions, Sahaba, his friend. The Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings upon him, said, "A man follows the religion of his friend. So each one should consider whom he makes his friend." And that's for all of us, particularly for the Muslim, or those who are thinking about Islam. Just think about the friends that you have who may misguide you. You may be the one that misguide other people, and of course take them off the right path, or take them to do wrong. But you also can guide those people with the help of Allah towards doing the right thing and being on the right path. And so we as Muslims, we should befriend someone that's going to keep us on the right path to the best of their ability, remind us about Allah whenever they can. When we're doing something wrong, to remind us that we're doing that thing wrong. My best friend would be he or she that reminds me when I'm doing wrong and corrects me. I'd rather have them correct me than go before the law and then Allah take it out on me for what I've done and I did not correct. So I don't want that to happen. Let the human beings correct me and I try to do right than having Allah put me and punish me because I've done something that is wrong. But on the other hand, when I do the right thing, that Allah reward me because of the advice that my friend had given to me and that I have given to them or to him. Again, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, he said, because we're talking about guidance, a man follows the religion of his friend, so each one should consider whom he makes his friend. Also, there was a mention about what should be our guidance? What should we look to for guidance? The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said, "I leave you two things, and if you follow these two things, you cannot go wrong. And number one is Quran, and then number two is Sunnah, his way, his path." Because look at his history. Read about the man for yourself. Don't listen to me. Read about Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, and all the good that he was, and the character that he had, and how the people loved him so much, and how they cried when he died, or certain things they didn't do, like Bilal, may peace be upon him. He used to call the Adhan all the time, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." Like, you know, God is the greatest, God is the greatest. And then one time when the Prophet died, he couldn't say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He could not say that second part of the Kalima Shahada, which was to bear witness there's no messenger or no prophet except for Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him. It was hard for him to say it. He had so much love for the man. Matter of fact, he stopped saying it and stopped calling Adhan. He was the first one to call the Adhan with his beautiful, strong voice and call the people to prayer. And so he stopped doing that until later on he did it after years and years and years, and different leaders begged him to do so. And then one leader begged him to do so, to please call the Adhan. Please call the people to prayer. And he agreed to do so, and it was just so beautiful. And then when he started reciting the Adhan to the people and calling the people to prayer, the people who know about the prophet during the time when the prophet was alive, they started crying from the voice of this man Bilal, who was a former slave, Bilal Ibn Rabah. They started crying by hearing them call the Adhan and calling the people to come to the guidance of Allah, may peace and blessed be upon them, and to come to make your prayer, because it's time to make prayer, and prepare for prayer, because the next time you hear my voice, it'll be time for you to come to line up for prayer. And so this beautiful, beautiful voice as this man echoed to the people, guide them to prayer and remembrance of Allah. Prepare yourself for the remembrance of Allah. Make your wudu, whatever you need to do to wash up, the ablution and wash up, to get ready to get in line to pray to Allah and seek guidance from Allah. Allah says in one verse in the Quran, which is verse 19, chapter 19, verse 73. That's chapter 19, verse 73. And hopefully you all be able to get to that. Again, that's chapter 19, verse 73. He said, in fact, Allah increases in guidance those who seek guidance. Because we say, ihdina sirata mustaqim. We seek the guidance from Allah, from those who are rightly guided, not those who go astray. Allah curse upon those people who go astray. We want to be on Surat al-Ladina amta alayhim, ghaibil maghdubi alayhim, waladhalin ameen. We want to be on that right guidance from this time until Allah takes your soul. From this time until Allah raises up, raise each and every one of us up from our sleep and our slumber. For those who are going to sleep in slumber and you're in our graves, where we're going to be woken up like, okay, who woke me up for some beautiful dream? Who woke me up from my sleep? And we think that we're sleeping just for a little while. But no, we're not sleeping for a little while. We have been sleeping for a long time until all of mankind was born and died. That's it. Then Allah decides to the angel, oh, it's time for you to blow the horn. It's time for you now to blow the trumpet. Angel, right now has a trumpet. I told you this to you before. Right now has a trumpet to his lips or near his lips. Just waiting for Allah to give the signal to blow the trumpet. At that point when he blows his trumpet, Allah commands, blow the trumpet now. And then certain things are going to take place. And I think I talked about that in one of my previous episodes. And certain things are going to take place when the trumpet is blown, it's blown again, that kind of thing. And then at that time, we're all going to be naked and circumcised before our Lord. And he's going to pass judgment for us. And our Lord is good in his judgment and fair in his judgment. His name is Al-Adl. He is the idol. He is the just one. No matter what you have, if you just have an Adam's weight, mustard seed of good in you, or Adam's weight of good in you, Allah is going to grant that to you and put that on the scale for you. If you have a mustard weight or Adam's weight of a bad, that's going to be placed on the scale. Whatever it is, Allah is fair and Allah is just. And Allah send the last prophet to all of us to guide us all of us. to guide us all to what is right and guide us towards Allah, because we went astray. He sent all the prophets of Adam all the way to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to guide the people, because the people started going astray and going this way and going that way, and they don't want to stay on Sirat al-Mustaqim. So it's the right path towards Allah. Receive right guidance. So Allah, he sent this last messenger, and he sent the last book to the people. There would be no other messengers after Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. There would be no more books of revelation sent to us, mankind, after this revelation or this book, the Quran, Kalamullah, the voice of Allah, the speech of Allah. This is it for us, folks. This is our last time, our last go round. After this will be no more, for after this will be judgment day. That's it. So you have, while you're breathing now, an opportunity to change your way and head more towards Allah. Don't go by what Imam Amin said. You don't have to do that at all. Read for yourself and read with an open heart, looking for the guidance from Allah. And asking for the guidance from Allah and reading from the Quran for yourself. The guidance from Allah, may peace of, okay, the guidance from Allah and from his and Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He's the man that Allah selected amongst all the of men, like all the other prophets and messengers before him. Look, you are going to be the one to guide the people and remind the people. Allah could have sent angels, he could send other beings, whatever, and say, okay, guide the people. No, he sent somebody from amongst ourselves. A man like ourselves. A human being like ourselves. Whatever frailties that a Muslim that a human being have, okay, he had some of those things too. Because he was a man. But he was also rightly guided. When he became the prophet of Allah, he was rightly guided by Allah to tell the people what to do and tell the people what not to do. And he was corrected by Allah when he did not do certain things. But I won't get into that right now. I'll leave that alone for right now. Also, in chapter 10, verse 57, chapter 10, verse 57, it says, O mankind, there has come to you an instruction from your Rabb, from your Lord, a cure for whatever diseases is in your hearts, a guidance and a blessing for the true believers. The instruction is in Quran. The guidance is from the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, guiding that bad that we have in our heart. And it's they're both a blessing to us. Doing our best to try to be true believers and followers of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, and obedience to Allah, to Allah, to Rasul, obeying Allah and obeying his messenger. And also in chapter 16, verse 102, again, chapter 16, verse 102, it says, O Holy Spirit, meaning talking about Jibril, or Gabriel as people call him, the Holy Spirit has brought it down piecemeal intact from your Rabb to strengthen the faith of the believers and to give guidance and good news to the Muslims. In this particular chapter, chapter 16, verse 102, the piecemeal they're talking about is Quran, and Allah knows best. Brought it piece by piece. He didn't just drop it on Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and that's it. Okay, do these things. No, while they were in Mecca for a little while, they revealed certain things, particularly those verses about Iman, the verses of strengthening up the Muslims. Then when they went from Mecca to Medina, then a lot of verses came down. The Medina verses came down to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to sort of organize the people. And this is just for me. This is not anything written. This is the way I understand. First, it was getting put inside the people the Iman, the faith in Allah, not giving them a structure first, and then get Iman later on. No, they had to be more committed to Allah. And so they were committed to Allah, committed to Islam, had a love for the Prophet, and they followed the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and left everything that they had from Mecca and went to Medina, absolutely nothing. And then Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he made them be brothers to each other. He brothered up or paired up the Ansar, meaning the ones that were in Medina with the ones who were from Mecca. The ones in Medina had a little bit of whatever they had. And also you had the ones who were from Mecca who had left everything had absolutely nothing. And then they shared. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. They shared. One brother even said, "Look, I have two wives, or I have many wives, something like that." He said, "Look, I'll divorce whichever one you want, so that you can have them, my brother." He loved his brother so much, and he also wanted to give the man money so he'd be able to start his business. And the man said, "No, brother." He said, "No, don't do that. You basically keep your wives and keep your money. Just show them where the marketplace is." And so the brother went down to the marketplace and sold wood or sold something like that to the people, and then it increased more and more and more. And then I forgot exactly what he sold. That's not where my mind frame is right now. So he sold something in the marketplace, and he was able to became a little more financially stable and was able to find a wife, and he got married, and Allah knows best. This is the beautiful thing, alhamdulillah. This Islam is so beautiful. Allah is gonna look out for you. All you gotta do is accept the guidance from Allah. And speaking of the guidance from Allah, in the book of Allah, we're gonna turn to chapter 16, page 64. Again, chapter 16, page 54. Now I'm saying all this to you because what? We see guidance from so many other people. We see guidance or whatever from politicians, from people who are famous, from football players, basketball players, whatever, people who are actors and actresses on TV that we see. We follow these people. They say wear certain clothing, we wear that. Certain shoes, we wear that. They're the ones that we idolize. Those are the ones that we want to be like. And so the thing is, you want to follow something? Something that is good for you in this life and the next life, then you follow Quran. You find the guidance of Allah. You find the way of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And by this time, you should be to chapter 16, verse 64, where it says, "We have revealed in the book," meaning the Quran, "so that you may clearly explain to them the reality of those things in which they differ. It is a guidance and blessing for those people who believe. If we get into any disputes between myself and my brother, or myself and my sister, or myself and a non-Muslim, is that Quran settles our disputes." That's what it is. And Prophet Muhammad, there were many examples when a non-Muslim would come to him and say it gives a complaint against a Muslim, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, we listen to both sides. Seek the guidance from Allah and decide based on the evidence, not because a person rich or poor or because they're Muslim or non-Muslim. No, he did things based on the evidence. That's what he did, and he judged accordingly. And that's what he did, even against his own self. When he rented or borrowed a loan from a man from armament that he used to wear or protect himself when he went to war, I think, but something like that. And so the man who gave it to him, say for example, the Prophet Muhammad owed it, was going to pay the man next month. They agreed to next month. And this month, the man asked for, I want whatever you owe me now. But the agreement for me to pay you next month and not this month. And the man got really loud with his voice to the companions around him, wanted to really do something to the man who was really unfair to the Prophet and getting loud with the Prophet, that kind of thing. But mainly he was unfair with the Prophet because he said, "You got next month to pay me back, but I want it right now." And the Prophet said, "Leave him alone. Who will give to me so I can give to him? Who will take care of this bill for me?" And some of the companions have no problem and say, "We'll take care of this bill for you. Not a problem. Not a problem at all. We'll take care of it." So his beautiful example that he did with this particular non-Muslim is a good example for the rest of us. And Tina Prince, because they're non-Muslim, that don't mean that we treat them unfairly. We obey Allah and obey the Prophet and get the guidance from Allah and the guidance from the Prophet. This was an example of a guidance to what you're supposed to do and not supposed to do. He could have said, okay, y'all go ahead and beat this man up. No, you wait until next month. He said, okay, fine, no problem. This is gentleness and the tenderness of his heart for this individual. No, don't do anything to this man. Okay, we go ahead and pay this man. Who's going to give me the money, whatever it is, and pay this man off? Okay, no problem. These guys, they paid the man off. And so I wanted, and so that was the guidance from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and him being fair. He was even fair so much that even when this rich lady, she stole. And I know you all really need to relate to this, because a lot of times we put our rich, we have one set of laws for the rich and another set of laws for the poor. Yeah, you all know exactly what I'm talking about. And you have one set of laws, but then the poor have to absolutely go by what the law says, where the rich kind of gets out of it. But not in Islam. The problem behind peace be upon her, there was a rich lady. She had stolen a necklace. And she didn't need to steal the necklace, but she stole it. She was rich. She could have bought many, many, many of them. But she stole the necklace. And then, so if the Muslims found out about her stealing the necklace, and then some of her friends came to one of the friends of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and tried to persuade him, look, yeah, we know she stole the wallet, but can you go to the necklace, but can you go to the Prophet, appeal to him on her behalf? And so the man was persuaded by that. He went to the Prophet and tried to appeal on her behalf. And the Prophet was not very happy with that. This woman stole. She was guilty. All the things that are the criteria involved with a person, a proof that a person stole something, and they had no need to steal anything. So she qualified for that. So she qualified to get her hand cut off. I know people say, oh, that's bad, it's bad. But we do all the kind of things in our societies against people who do certain things. So don't make it like, oh, Islam is so bad. Look at your own society first before you start throwing stones at the Islamic society or those who, what they said, live in glass houses, to a certain toss stones. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Look at your own society and what you do to people who do wrong. What do you do to people who, whatever they do, and it either is some kind of capital punishment, some kind of execution, some kind of whatever it is, you do that in your own society. So don't be like, oh no, Muslims do that. Yes. Prophet Muhammad, he said, look, even if my daughter was to steal, I would cut her hand off. Because that's what the law says to do. Now, there are some other criteria if the person stole because they fed their family, that kind of thing. Okay, this, you go to the scholars and they clear that up for you. But for this particular situation, being guided by Quran and it mentioned these things, kind of things, Quran, be guided by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, then this is what happens to this particular individual. I'm gonna move on. I start getting into another area right now, which kind of gets away from the topic. And also in chapter 17 verse 15, and it said, he that seeks guidance shall be guided to his own advantage, but he that goes astray does so to his own loss. No bearer shall bear the burden of another on the day of a judgment. And during your worldly life, we do not inflict punishment upon until we seek forth a rasul to make truth distinct from falsehood. So Allah is, like I said to you earlier, Allah does not do anything to people unless he sends a messenger first. And a message to tell you this is right and this is wrong. Be clear of what is right and what is wrong. You decide to go down the wrong path or to go down the right path or do the right thing or do the wrong thing. That's your decision. I told you what to do. I instructed you what to do. And so, but you decide to do differently. I've given you the right guidance. So you look at this verse that I mentioned, chapter 17, verse 15, and you will find what I'm talking about, what I just read. It may be the English may be a little bit different, or whatever language that you used to use, or your first language, and it may be a little bit different than the translation that I'm using here. Also, what instruction did the Prophet Muhammad that he gave? And so let me get into that for a moment. Some of the companions, when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, intended to send this particular companion to Yemen, he asked, how will you judge when the occasion of deciding a case arises? He replied, I shall judge it according with Allah's book. He asked, what will you do if you do not find any guidance in Allah's book? He replied, I shall act in according with the sunnah of the prophet of Allah, may peace and blessing be upon him. He asked, what will you do if you do not find any guidance in the sunnah of the apostle of Allah, may peace and blessing be upon him, and in Allah's book? He replied, I shall do my best to form an opinion, and I shall spare no effort. The prophet of Allah, may peace be upon him, then patted him on his breast and said, peace be to Allah who has helped the messenger of the apostle of Allah and find something which pleases the apostle of Allah. And so basically it's saying here, what's going to guide your decision? Quran. Then you don't find it there. What's going to guide your decision? What other decision you're going to make or guide your decision? Guidance will be the Prophet Muhammad's his way. Or what else you're going to use? You can't find those two sources, which is really those are the two main sources of the Sharia, which are the Islamic law. And then I would do the best I can in my ability, in my opinion, pertaining to this particular thing that is going on, or this particular thing that is before me. And so I ask my beautiful students, seek the guidance from Quran. And of course, also seek the guidance, and it's not there, or support. You can also seek the guidance from Prophet Muhammad. May peace and blessing be upon him. And it's there for everyone to read. Don't let any person say, oh, I'll read it to you. I'll give you the guidance. I interpret it for you. No, that's not how Islam works. You can get a lot of information you need. Read the Quran for yourself. And read it about the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessing upon him for yourself. Maybe some scholars may give some a further explanation, or maybe a better explanation. Perhaps that's true. But no person is like this superior person. Just wrap your crown up, in plastic and put it on a shelf. I'll interpret it for you. Good. The hadiths do the same thing from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Put it on the shelf and I'll tell you what they say. No. That's not how it works in Islam. Because that individual guide you any way he or she wants to guide you. They want you just to look at them, at the person to provide the guidance to you. And sooner or later, Shaitan puts in their head, okay, I'm Allah, I'm God, obey me. You have many, many stories about different organizations where this person, a person become this like this, almost like this idol to the people. He or she can never do any wrong. They think that they feel like they are invincible and they can never die. And you all know what I'm talking about. And you probably know people right now today that are like that. No, that is not what Islam is all about. We see guidance from Quran and the guidance from Prophet Muhammad. May peace and blessing and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad. I want to mention one more thing, and then I will stop. Also, there was a dua or supplication of Prophet Muhammad. May peace be upon him. Used to read, and he said, when the Prophet Muhammad, when the apostle of Allah, may peace be upon him, awoke at night, he said, there's no God but you. Glory be to you. O Allah, I ask your pardon for my sin, and I ask you for your mercy. O Allah, advance me in knowledge, Rabbi Zidni Elm. Do not cause my heart to deviate from guidance. And after you have guided me and grant me mercy from yourself, verily you are the grantor. Let me read that one more time. It's such a beautiful supplication in case you want to get up at night and say this one. The Prophet Muhammad, when he woke up at night, he would say, "There's no God but you. Glory be to you. O Allah, I ask your pardon for my sin, and I ask you for your mercy. O Allah, advance me in knowledge, and do not cause my heart to deviate from guidance after you have guided me. And grant me mercy from yourself. Verily, you are the grantor." I hope that you all understand what I'm saying and what I have basically read to you. If you want more information about Islam, you can find out more information about Islam through Why Islam or through the International Online University, or you can go to American Open University and get a wealth of knowledge about Islam. Some is it free and some you have to pay for, some you get degrees in, all the way up to a doctorate degree, or some you get certificates in. And so I just wanted to mention these things to you. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.